Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design radio broadcast for the fourth day of June, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is a war strategy. We dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am, and we also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Ergo, why we are called Israelites. And today, the true Israelites are the Caucasian peoples of the world. That being said, remember, if you have the right hardware, but you don't have the right software, you're not going anywhere, even if you got the DNA correct. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda. And again, I may not be pronouncing that quite right. Let's see here. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's all together with no spaces, pastordan.net. And we do call your attention to a couple pages. Number one, of course, is the Daily Mail, where we put the current events, health information, just things that we think you might need to know, even self-defense and home defense prepper information. And on the homepage, of course, for the handful of folks out there that help us out, we do appreciate that, by the way, and Yahweh bless each and every one of you. But anyway, the homepage is where you find information about helping us out with a donation. There's also a contact us page. If you don't have my personal contact information, you can fill that out and it will get a message to me and I will respond accordingly. All right. Now, let's see here. What I want to give you a couple things here. There's an old adage that says, do not be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try. Okay, that's a lot of our people's problem. I might not succeed. Because when I was young, as my father duly noted, I lacked self-confidence, and therefore I was afraid to try a lot of things because I did not want to fail. That's not the way it works, folks. You're supposed to try, and you should expect bumps in the roads and failures from here and there at times. Okay, that doesn't stop you from trying. I'm going through that with some of my family right now. Things are not going well for a particular member of the family, and I'm constantly reminding him of the same thing. And again, his behavior is inherited from my mother, who was a worrywart and sometimes a Debbie Downer. She stressed over many things, and I am like my mother in that regard. I, especially as a young man, very self-conscious, didn't like confrontation, didn't like to explore and do new things too often, even though the thrill of victory was there whenever I overcame something. But as I grew older and I went through experiences and everything, a lot of that started to go away. And then once you get to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, a lot of it will go away there also. You realize you have an advocate on high, and He is there with you and has your back in all things that you do if you have the right motives. Okay? Now, a lot of people think Yahweh is like a genie in a bottle. All you got to do is go to your prayer closet and rub the bottle, and the genie's going to appear and give you your wishes. That's not Yahweh's job. He's not your personal genie to just grant you your earth's desires, the desires of the flesh. All right? He's an advocate. He's a friend. He cares about us. He wants us to succeed, just like a father, a good father on this earth, would want his children to succeed. However, he wants you to do the effort. He wants you to put forth the effort to be successful, and he will be the guiding light, and he will stand afar off and send help your way when you need it, if it's his will. But here again, it's incumbent upon us to be properly motivated. What is in your heart? What are you trying to accomplish on this earth? His will or your own? Think about that a lot, folks, because that has got a lot to do with what's wrong in the world today. So do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid to try. Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. Again, a huge indicator of what's wrong in this world today. As you look around, people are lazy, self-absorbed, narcissistic. They have no empathy. Again, go to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and you'll read all about the condition of people today. Long list of attributes and people, what I call the zombies out there, that's what they are. Hollowed out bodies, just bags of bones, as it's described in Ezekiel, that valley of dead and dry bones. Well, that's this earth right now. It's a valley full of dead and dry bones, meaning people that have flesh, they've got muscle, they've got energy, they're walking around, but inside they're spiritually dead. That's what the Bible story is trying to put forth to you, this valley full of dead and dry bones. Obviously, we don't see skeletons walking around. That's not what it's talking about. That's pretty obvious. And again, and Ella put out a great article here recently about taking things in the Bible literally, okay? People do that a lot. Today, the modern church does that a lot, and you shouldn't do that. First of all, even if you had 100% accurate English translations, you got to be careful, because sometimes it's an allegory. Just as I've said many times, if somebody comes up to you and says, my uncle kicked the bucket last week. Well, somebody 1,000 years from now is going to sit there scratching their head going, his uncle kicked the bucket. What the hell's, what did he mean by that? And they're going to sit around and debate about it. Well, I think he kicked the bucket because that's a sign, you know, that he was angry. So this is a way of, you see what I'm saying? Okay, so are you actually thinking that folks 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago didn't have colloquialisms or expressions or euphemisms that you're reading many years later, thousands of years later? You don't think they had ways of expressing that may be confusing to you? Again, why you don't always take things literally? You need to take things in context, and you need to draw the principles being talked about. People put great emphasis on memorization of verses, and then they're completely off the tracks when it comes to the meaning. All right? I think there was a preacher at one time, Van Impe, I believe that was his name, that used to brag about how many Bible verses he knew, like thousands, 10,000, I think. And the problem with that is, okay, he memorized all those Bible verses, but he completely missed the mark on many of the principles being talked about. For instance, who are the true Israelites? And again, why we are in trouble today? Because we're missing the finer points, because we're struggling and straining at the small things. Okay, we're swallowing a camel while we're straining at gnats, little tiny bugs. You're swallowing a great big camel. Jews are God's chosen people. Great big camel, you just swallowed it while you're straining at, well, Sabbath is on Sunday. Sabbath is on Saturday. Guess what? You're all wrong. Okay, so you're sitting there straining at these little gnats, and you just ate a whole camel. You don't even know who God's people are. You don't know that Messiah came upon this earth. Yahweh took on flesh for his kinsmen, and they weren't Jews. You swallow the camel while you're sitting there fighting with each other over little gnats, little tiny bugs that are irritating you. Well, that the dress code in here, the women, they're showing way too much of their chest. Men, the men came to service and they had blue jeans on. Swallowing camels while we're straining at gnats. Principles. Now, what verse is that? I don't know. I'd have to look it up. You got electronic about trying to memorize. If you need to look it up, it's easy to look it up, especially today with computers and digital Bibles. I don't waste time trying to memorize Bible chapters and verses. I don't. First of all, the original scriptures did not have chapters and verses. Okay? They just were written as novels, stories, on a single scroll, the entire book of whatever, Ezekiel, Isaiah. They didn't divide it because they didn't care. Our job isn't to sit around and memorize that kind of stuff. The job is to read the story and get the principle being talked about. Straining at the gnats. All right? Completely missing the mark. As in Proverbs, what does Yahweh hate? Those who cause division amongst the brethren. Okay? Completely glossing over that while we're busy trying to memorize chapters and verses. Oh, I know this because I do that. Well, you missed the whole point. You're learning all this scripture, memorizing it all, and yet you divide the camp, whether it's through envy, jealousy, easily triggered, whatever. Our people have a long list of things that they allow to, quote, piss them off to where they won't fellowship with each other. They won't work together because somebody offended them. Oh, my God. When do we become such little children? We often use that word dystopia today because that's the kind of world we live in. It is a dystopia, D-Y-S-T-O-P-I-A, dystopia. A state in which the conditions of life are extremely bad, as from deprivation, oppression, or terror. Our kinsmen in Russia obviously lived through a long dystopia when the Jewish Bolsheviks took power and murdered tens upon tens upon tens of millions of white Christian men, women, and children. And many times they weren't simply murdered, they were tortured. Tortured and then murdered because they are bloodthirsty people, the Bolshevik Jews. Richard Buckminster Fuller, we're going to talk about that. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. This is going to be important when we get talking about the subject of today's message with a interview that was done with Greg Hunter and Catherine Austin Fitz, because it's very appropriate. So remember this verse if you go there later today and listen to that one-hour interview. It is a must-see interview. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model, which is exactly what Revelation is telling us. Come out of Babylon, my people. Build a new model that makes the existing model, this new world order, this Jewish dystopia run by Jewish bankers. And when we do that, we make the existing model obsolete. Obsolete. And that's our job. Come out of it. Come out of it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, obviously one of the ones we refer to frequently because it, again, is a single verse that wraps up our condition fairly well. If my people, now does it say if the world? No, it doesn't say that. Does it say if everybody walking on two legs? No, doesn't say that either. If my people, on whom my name is named. Well, wait a minute. Now you've not only taken many of these people walking in shoe leather out of the equation, but now you've even taken a portion of those that do have the right racial makeup of Israelite. See, just being Israelite isn't going to get you anywhere. Upon whom my name is called, make themselves humble and come to me in prayer, searching for me. Does it say searching for wealth? Does it say searching for new entertainment or a girlfriend or boyfriend or public aggrandizement? No, it doesn't say that. Searching for me, meaning Yahweh, and turning from their evil ways. Who determines what's evil? Yahweh, not man. Then I will give ear from heaven. Meaning I'll pay attention, I'll listen. Overlooking their transgressions, called sins, and I will give life again to their land. Our land is dead, dying. This world is dying. Why? Because the Israelites that were put here, Adamic people, those that show blood in the face or blush, Adam, his sons and daughters have left the playing field. And they've allowed the alien to come in and take over. Unbelievable. Another old adage, I can't remember who spoke it first. It really doesn't matter. When the government fears the people, we have liberty. Hallelujah. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. Yeah, you're living in it. All right? You've been living in it for quite some time. By the way, a tyranny is dominance through threat of punishment and violence. That's a tyranny, okay? And again, another famous one by Henry David Thoreau, because this one says a lot in a short sentence. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. So get that. You got 1,000 people in your neighborhood out there with machetes and hatchets, and you've got this great big ugly tree in the middle of the neighborhood. And there's 1,000 neighbors out there whacking at the branches. But who has enough sense to get the chainsaw and go over and cut it off at the root and get rid of it? 1,000 neighbors are out there wasting time in the hot sun with their machetes and their trimmers trying to whack the branches of this tree of evil back. You got 1,000 of them, but only one neighbor smart enough to know you got to take a chainsaw out and cut it off at the root. You cut the root off, and guess what? The branches die. What's the root of evil in this world today? Well, according to Scripture, it's a particular group of people who love money more than anything. They love money more than life. They love money more than morality. They love money more than Yahweh himself. You figure that out, you've answered the question. Who's the root of evil? People that worship and love money. So it's not only a racial group of people. The Bible calls them Edom, Esau. We call them Jews today. But it's the people that they have proselytized as well. It is the other races who have adopted the Jewish outlook on life, to where money is everything. Take a look around you. They're walking everywhere. Again, the people I call zombies. They don't have the love of nature, the love of justice, the love of mankind, fellow man. No empathy for anybody except themselves. True narcissists. You want to find the definition of a narcissist, go look up your local Jews. Now, are there exceptions here and there? Yes, there are people who walk this earth who say they are Jewish. But are they really? Racially. We're talking racially now. Forget about, well, they go to the synagogue, so that makes them a Jew. No, that's not what the Bible's talking about. Bible's talking about racial. The Bible was a racial book. If you haven't figured that out yet, you need to leave. Okay? Go attend a regular whitewashed sepulcher church and get your jollies for the week, because you don't need to be listening to me or anybody teaching any kind of Bible truths. Okay, if you haven't figured that out. Whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Another news item today is I just saw the new Center for Disease Control, CDC, director is another woke Jew. Okay, they finally got rid of that hag, Walensky, a Jew. And so now they put in Mandy Cohen, a young woke Jewess. So one Jew replaced by another Jew. See, Jews everywhere. In case you haven't noticed it, have you seen that the alternative media is also full of them? And I've been asking this question for decades. Why is it that every opinion that we're getting, whether it's on the left, the right, or anywhere else you want to look, why is it always coming from Jewish people? Why is it always the Jewish doctors that we're hearing about fighting COVID? So you got the Jews through the pharmacies and the Jewish doctors that are pushing the poisons, but you've got another set of people that are opposing it, but they happen to be Jewish as well. Oh, that's right. The protocols control both sides of every narrative, control both sides of every discussion. It's always about control with them. It's always been that way. Are you saying there's no independent thought out there? There's no Caucasian Israelite people that know what's going on? No. No, because you can't be trusted when the time comes that they give you the signal to change directions, like a Rush Limbaugh or an Alex Jones or Dr. Madej or Kaufman or any of the other ones, because they're all part of the same group. And if they get the call from the local rabbi to change their direction, they'll change it. Everybody's a player in this game, if you haven't figured that out, except Yahweh's true sons and daughters. And Yahweh's true sons and daughters are not going to be given million-dollar studios. Yahweh's true sons and daughters are not going to have television cameras and microphones shoved in front of them so that they can teach the world the truth of our Father and what's really going on in this world. You don't get that kind of money, you don't get that kind of publicity unless you're part of the game. It's all a game. And again, why I'm going to recommend, which I don't usually do it, but I'm going to recommend watching the interview between Greg Hunter and Catherine Austin Fitz. Because interestingly enough, in that interview, Catherine talks a lot about the very things that we've been talking about. She said we're in a war. It's not just a spiritual war. It is a financial war. It is a war, and you need to start thinking like you're in a war. And she makes many, many good points. Now, do I agree with 100% of it? No, of course not. There's nothing out there I agree 100% with, and neither should you. That's why you chew the meat and you spit out the bones. But does she make a lot of very commonsensical points in her talk with Greg? Yes, they do. It's probably one of the best interviews I've seen. I did not quite get the last 10 or 15 minutes of it. But in the first 45 minutes, they cover many of the things we've talked about here. For instance, you vote with your money. My brother and I did an interview many years ago on this very topic. You vote with your time and your money. The ballot box means nothing. And you should know that because the enemy constantly wants you to think that you can vote your way out of these troubles. If voting mattered, you wouldn't be allowed to do it, people. Wake the hell up. Where you spend your time and money is how you influence the world around you. When you spend money in these evil institutions and support them, you are supporting the wicked. The righteous are not supposed to support the wicked. Okay? So let that sink in. If you get a chance to go to USA Watchdog with Greg Hunter, and that interview, it's called A War Strategy with Catherine Austin Fitz. And she used to be in government in Washington, D.C. At a pretty high level, handling billions of dollars in budget material. And she left Washington, like so many people with a good heart. They left because it's filthy in Washington. I told you the story. I have a very close personal friend from Alabama whose cousin was in Washington, D.C., and he left after only a year in Washington as a U.S. representative. And when my good friend asked him why he left, he said, I'm getting out before they do to me and my family what they've done to everybody in Washington, the District of Criminals. Okay? Personal information. I also got an article this morning talking right here in good old Central Florida in a county called Polk County, P-O-L-K, Polk County. There's a professor at a school there that gave a female student a zero because she refused to denounce her faith in Yeshua. Okay, that's where we've reached. Now, how many years have we talked about the fact that the colleges and universities of America are dens of iniquity? Dens of iniquity and hotbeds of communism. All right, we've said that. Charlotte Iserbeit wrote a book about dumbing down America. Elizabeth Dilling wrote another set of documents, and she was also affiliated with government in Washington. And she exposed the communist influence in our public education system. And we, the people, we ignored both of these ladies. I've read their works. It's phenomenal. How anybody could put a child through public school after reading what they wrote is just astounding to me. And yet, here we are in 2023, and people are still putting their children through public school. They're still having their child go to the universities and colleges for what? A degree. My brother went that way. He was valedictorian of our high school. He went on to a major university where he got his degree in engineering. And later on, he went and got his master's degree in engineering. And he'll be the first one to tell you that college didn't get him prepared for work in the real world at all. Okay? 4 years at a major university, continued his education to get a master's, and he'll be the first one to tell you that all that money and time in those buildings did not prepare him for the real world. It's all make-believe, people. It's all make-believe. You learn the job on the job, almost any kind of job you want to talk about. So again, everybody strains at the gnats and they swallow the camel. The camel being, you need a degree to be successful and make lots of money. You swallow that camel. It's a line. It's a bullshit statement. What you need is knowledge and skill. That's all you need. Do you need to go to all that schooling to have knowledge and skill? No. No, you don't. Did it ever dawn on you that some of the richest people in the world never went to college? They never went to college. They had skill. They had information or skill or services that people needed, and they were good at it, and they were honest, and they thrived. See, we have everything asked backwards today because we're listening to the wrong people. Come out of Babylon, my people. Come out of that way of thinking. Think for yourselves. When did we get coerced into believing the government has a right in our life to dictate health care, education, and all these things? When? The same people that carry Bibles and go into these whitewashed sepulchers called churches have their children brought up through public schools, and they themselves push this whole nonsensical thing that government has a right to interfere in our lives. And yet, if they read the book that they're carrying, if the preacher would dare to teach true scripture, it would say just the opposite. The government bureaucrats have no authority in our healthcare decisions. They have no authority in how we raise our children. None. They have no authority to tell us what we can and cannot put in our bodies. None. When people worship government to that level, you know they have made government an idol. Okay? Did any preacher tell you that lately? Okay? You read the Bible and you sit there, especially the Old Testament, and you go, how could those Israelites of old been so stupid as to put their child on a statue that had a fire inside of it and watch their own flesh and blood be consumed by the fire? How could you do that? But abortion clinics are okay, where they inject saline into the child and that salt solution eats away at the child, a living child. What's the difference between what they did 1,000 years ago in front of the statue of Moloch and what you're doing in the abortion mill when you murder that baby? Please tell me the difference, because I don't see it. I've been asking that question for 23 and a half years. I have yet to have somebody tell me the difference. Tell me, what is the difference between those people that we sit and we mock and we sit here going, how in the hell could they have been so cruel and so stupid? And we turn around today and we worship an idol called government, and that government has said it's okay to murder a living soul within the belly of the mother. And she's a mother, and she's a woman, by the way. What gender are you? If you're that stupid, please do me a favor and do not listen to this program. I don't want an audience that has anybody that damn stupid or that lazy or that cowardly. No, no, no. Just like Yeshua, when he walked this earth, he cared about the quality. He didn't care about the number. Numbers are never the thing of our concern. And that includes in our armies. The number of military people, the number of soldiers, the number of disciples never matters. The quality of the people in your circle is what matters. Our people have forgotten that one too. They associate with people out there you should not be associating with, ever. You support things you should never support. You watch stuff on them flat screens, you should never do it. You give your children tablets and cell phones. What?
Well, it's a case there's an emergency, Diane. We want them to have that cell phone because they can call us if there's something.
What do you think we did back in the 50s and 60s? Okay, first of all, you educate your children about staying away from strangers. Don't get into people with cars that you don't know. All right, that's what they taught us. They taught us to stay on the properties of people that were friends of the family. Was it a perfect system? Hell no. Until Yeshua comes again, there is no perfect system. But it was a hell of a lot better than what you got today, because now you got stalkers that are using your, what? Oh, your data and your cell phone to track and find their victims. So here you are believing the lie.
Well, they got to have that cell phone because they might have a flat tire coming home, and we want to be able to go out there and help them, Dan.
Okay, so in the meantime, hackers can get in there and find out where your daughter or your son is. In the meantime, they spend all their time on that piece of shit device, and they don't know how to have any social skills. They don't talk to anybody anymore. They don't go out and get sunshine and exercise anymore. And many of them are watching porn or taking nudies of themselves and sending it to their friends. That's okay with you. Because there might be an instant when they have a flat tire or some inconvenience. It's okay to put those devices, those objects, those flat screens, those images controlled by the beast, put it into their hands starting at the age of 2 or 3. Yeah, that's a much better system. You're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. It is worth it. Yeah. I look around at the zombies walking by my office here every day with their face on a flat screen. Everybody with their face on a flat. You're right. That is so much better than the world I grew up in the 1950s and 60s. You're right. It is so much better that our children are raised by electronic devices controlled by Satan's kids. That is so much better than me being out on bicycles with my buddies or playing football in the backyard or exploring through the woods or swimming down at the local creek and checking out the turtles and the fish and the snakes up along the bank. Yeah, their life is so much better than mine. And I ate food from the garden and I drank spring water with absolutely no chemicals in it. It was so clean and so pure it almost was sweet tasting. Yeah, you're right. The modern version with its fluoridated water and its chemicals in there like chlorine and all these other lead and poisons and all the poisons that come across the electronic media, that is so much better. You're right. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you one thing. I praise the living God every single day that I was born when I was born and to the family that I was born into every day. Every single day. And I pity the poor souls that live in this zombie world that we've created. And we allow to continue because of our apathy, our ignorance, and our cowardice. Yeah. Yep. I thank them every day. But again, USAWatchdog.com. With Greg Hunter and his interview with Catherine Austin Fitz. If you don't enjoy that interview, I would like to know why. So get a hold of me. And again, you can go to the contact page at PastorDan.net and send me your comments. I think it's an excellent interview. And again, is it 100% correct? No. Maybe not 100%, but it's pretty damn close. They make a lot of good points. We are in a war. And one of the points that Catherine makes is very good is, why are you supporting the big banks? Okay. Why don't you support the little small credit unions and small branches of banks locally? Because most of them are usually in pretty good shape. Most of the headlines are about the big mega banks. All of them are owned, obviously, by Jews. And they want you to think that way. They want you to overlook the fact that the Jews at the Treasury and the Jews at the Federal Reserve are handing the Jews in the big major central banks all the money they want because it's just digits in a computer. No big deal, right? Oy vey. Hey, Orv, I need some more money. Don't worry, Irv. Ivan, I'll send you over all the shekels you want, all the digital shekels. How many do you need? A couple billion? How about a trillion? And yet the dumb sheep, they keep right on going by. Just like when that Jew with the Defense Department said, well, you know, we found out there's $3 trillion and disappeared from the budget. That was right the day before 9/11. Oh, that's just coincidence. The day before 9/11. That damn kike has the balls to tell the audience on front of television, $3 trillion with a T. $3 trillion missing. How do you lose $3 trillion? You don't. idiots. You don't. It's a Jew. His lips were moving. Therefore, he was lying. All right? That old saying is 100% true. Their lips are moving. They're lying. We've lost $3 trillion. And the next day, they blow up a couple buildings, and the whole world just completely forgets about the fact that the Jewish central banks just stole $3 trillion. And it wasn't all that long ago, we got told that there's more trillions, like $9 trillion, missing from budgets. Really? Missing from budgets. How the hell does that happen? Especially with all the electronic ties the NSA's got with everything. You don't know where it went? When these idiots, these morons, these miscreants get in front of Congress, well, I'm not allowed to talk about that. Or, gee, no, we don't know where it went. Really? And you still have a job? If I hired somebody to mow my yard and I went out and said, why is it not trimmed back here? And he said, well, I don't know why. I guess my weed whacker quit working. I'd fire him. You people just keep sending them money year after year after year. You don't elect anybody anymore. The voting thing has been corrupted for decades. Decades. You still don't get it. I don't know. I don't know. What happened to people? Common sense ain't common in much anymore. That's for sure. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I got news for you, folks. We're in the time to hate and a time for war. If you don't hate evil, then you don't love anybody, because the two go hand in hand. The modern day church world will tell you the lie, the Jewish lie, that that's not Christ-like. Really? Really. So Yeshua loved those people in the temple he was whipping to overturn the money tables? So he loved those people? Or was he full of hate for them because of their defiling the temple, for their hypocrisy? Yeshua himself told him that if you don't have a sword, because I'm leaving, I'm the creator, I got all power. You don't have to worry about violence coming to you while I'm here. But I'm leaving. And so you're on your own, so you better go get a sword. Well, what do you use a sword for? Shaving? Shaving? Do you use a sword for cutting up your steak at night? A sword is for one thing and one thing only, and that is destroying an enemy. Oh, that's right. That prostitute behind the pulpit told you that's a spiritual sword. Oh, that's right. Forget it. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense that he told them that they needed to go out and sell their clothing to buy a spiritual sword. I'm kind of curious, though, where they took their little purse of money to go find this spiritual sword. Where did they find that at? How many silver pieces did a spiritual sword cost at that time? I'm curious. Now, ones made of iron or brass, I'm sure probably cost about equivalent to a man's daily wage. But a spiritual sword, I'm not sure. I've never read anything that told me how much silver it took to buy a spiritual sword. Interesting. Interesting. Matthew 24, verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. Does it feel like you're in that time zone right now? Just a little bit, maybe? Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. That's the sign of an Israelite. We live at peace with all mankind if they are reasonable, if they obey our Father. We're not violent people. We're not narcissists. We're not egomaniacs that think that our way is the only way and that you must live exactly the way I say. That is our Edomite friends with that attribute, because they are the epitome of narcissism. All right? Judaism and narcissism go hand in hand, the same way as Judaism and communism go hand in hand. Judaism and perversion go hand in hand. Judaism and anti-Christian thought and action go hand in hand. Many people haven't figured that out yet either. Proverbs 21:15. When justice is done, it is a joy to the righteous, but terror to evildoers. You know why your criminal justice system doesn't work? Who do you think infiltrated it? Who do you think infiltrated it? Who do you think are many of the lawyers and judges and prosecutors in the so-called criminal justice system? It's a joke. It's a joke. When real justice now, real justice depends on righteousness and truth. What you have today, just as in the church world, you have a semblance of it. Okay? Just like in the church world, there's a form of godliness. Form. Form only. In the criminal justice world, it's the same thing. You have an illusion. You have a form, but there is no real justice in it. Real justice is a joy to the righteous. Do we have real justice today? No, of course not, because your system is run by your enemy. So that should tell you, evildoers aren't afraid of the criminal justice system. They're not afraid of the FBI, CIA, NSA, any of these. Why would they fear them? They control them. They're only there to give you this warm and fuzzy feeling that you have entities that are seeking real justice. Really? You don't pay attention to the world around you very much, do you? You're swimming in an ocean of lies and deceit and corruption. You're swimming in an ocean of evil and perversion. And somehow you think that while you're swimming in this ocean of dung, that somehow you're going to come out smelling like a rose. How does that work? How does that work? That you allowed the world that our Father created to become this cesspool, and you don't think it will affect you and yours? True righteousness, true justice, is something for the righteous to praise and look forward to. But it is a terror to your enemy. Why do you think they work so hard to get rid of God's law in our society? You know, like the law that says a rapist should be executed. The law that says a murderer should be executed. A doctor or anybody in a professional position that promotes fraud that ends up killing people, that is murder. Newspapers that print false information that could lead to somebody being kidnapped, raped, or murdered, that they are just as guilty as the perpetrator. And yet we allow them to print lies and deception every single day. We let them to get on in front of TV cameras and spew lies and deception and fraud every day. Nobody's held accountable. God's law says that we, the people, are to hold these sons of bitches accountable. I guess Yahshua was right when he was saying that my flock, those that hear my voice, those who are my people, are a tiny flock. He didn't say small. He didn't say minority. He said tiny. Très petite. très petit. Muy pequeño. Very, very small. The good news is the righteous, as Noah and his family did. And it's also kind of funny that Catherine Fitz, in her discussion with Greg Hunter, talked about arcs, getting into our arcs, forming communities, learning to be self-sufficient. She, in her own words, she was talking about the ARC project that we've discussed here for quite some time. And maybe there will be a day when some Israelites are willing to put forth effort and funds to actually build communities. Right now, everybody's hanging on to their 401ks and their stock market stocks, thinking that this Babylonian system is going to be here forever. And the Babylonian system is going to allow them to be affluent. Well, I hope it works out for you. Personally, I've never invested in any of that, ever. No stocks, no bonds, no 401ks, no health insurance. I don't want any of it. And, you know, for years, people ridiculed me. You know, Dan, you should have a retirement plan. You should invest. You should have stocks. You should have health insurance. You should have life insurance. And for a long time, I didn't have insurance on an automobile. I didn't have a driver's license either, because I chose not to. And I still choose not to on many of those things. I don't want insurance. First of all, it's overpriced, and the enemy controls the insurance industry, in case you haven't figured it out. Second of all, having insurance assumes that I want this system to be involved in my health care, which I don't. Well, what if you have this happen, Dan? Or what if you get cancer? What if you break a bone? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, life happens, and I'll deal with it. But I'm not going to go to a hospital. I'm not going to go to a doctor. Why would I do that? Especially after I watched him murder my mother and my baby sister and my nephew at 28 years old. I watched him murder these people that I love. Why would I trust them? Can somebody explain it to me? What is it about watching them murder these people that I love that would make me want to spend hard-earned money to support their system? Why would I do that? Why do you do that? Personal preference, I guess. You can do whatever you want to do, but for me and my house, no. We don't support those things. A lot of times they refer to Romans chapter 13 as to why we're supposed to give our obedience to a criminal element called government. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. And that's where they stop. Okay? The liars do. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. They stop. Well, that's because they don't want you to read the rest of it, because it qualifies the first sentence. Liars and deceivers always do that. It's fraud and lies by omission. Because what they leave out is the following: for there is no authority except from Yahweh. That's rightful authority. And those that exist have been instituted by Yahweh. Now, is Yahweh going to give his blessing to those who are evil? Only when he puts them there to punish the righteous. Ah, Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what Yahweh has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct. What? Rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to evil or bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for good. You telling me these government people out here are servants for good? Now, these sentences have a double meaning. Does Yahweh allow these evil people to have these positions? In a way, yes, he does. Because again, they're allowed to be there to punish you and me when we disobey. What do you think the first thing that when I talk about the Ark Project to our brothers and sisters, I don't talk to regular people about this, but to our brothers and sisters, believers. You know the first thing that so-called Yahweh's children say to me? Well, Dan, they'll just turn us into a Waco, and they'll come there and they'll kill us and burn us down. That's exactly what the staged event called Waco was all about. And I did say staged event because it was staged. Because that's exactly what they want you to think. And you went right along with it. And I kindly remind them that, you know, the Amish never caved in to the government. They're still here. I didn't see them go succumb to any kind of Waco activity. And, you know, strangely enough, the Amish community wasn't, quote, devastated with all kind of problems associated with vaccines. They didn't buy the whole COVID bullshit story because Amish don't watch television. They didn't plug into the Matrix. Gee, do you think there's a lesson there? They don't watch television. They don't listen to the radio. They don't have anything to do with Babylon. And they didn't have any of the problems we had. Is there a lesson there somewhere, maybe? You think? So here again, rather than having the courage to form the communities that we were told to do, we would rather do nothing. Remember that adage I talked about? Don't be afraid to try, but be afraid not to try. Be afraid not to try. What did Yahweh say about the servant that was given the talent and he hid it out of fear that he might lose it so he could just hang on to it, keep it from everybody else? That was what he did with it. Yahweh said, I'm going to take it from you, give it to another. Even though he has plenty, I'm going to give it to him because he's doing something with it. He gave you talent. He gave you resources. Whatever it is in your personal life, he gave it to you. What are you doing with it? Are you working for the kingdom? Are you working for him? Or are you just sitting on it? Something to think about. Something to think about. And the only reason I'm bringing that up is because I don't want to see people suffer. I don't want to see them in Yahweh's wrath. Because I've been there. I've been there. I've had Yahweh teach me a lesson or two in this life. It was not pleasant. I knew he was there, though. So I didn't fear death. I didn't fear that he would leave me. But it was a fearful process because of the power of the enemy. And there were many times I felt alone and I felt defeated. But I kept fighting. And in the end, Yahweh granted a victory. Wasn't exactly the way I envisioned my victory to be, but looking back on it years and years later, I realized that it was indeed a victory. And you know what the other thing was? In the darkest, darkest, darkest of those days, when I felt completely overcome, that's when I learned how to pray. Oh, I've always talked to the Father as long as I can remember. But I'm talking about where the scripture says to cry out to the Father with hot tears. Well, I learned what that one's talking about. To beg him to forgive and to assist. Oh, I learned what that was all about. And to watch him work in his ways to bring victory to you in spite of what you're going through and what you might feel inside. So it taught me many things. But it also taught me that he does not forsake us, ever. He may teach you a lesson. He may let you go down into that gutter for a while. But he never abandons us. We abandon him frequently. I know lots of people that have gone over to the dark side because, well, that's where the money is. That's where the nice cars and the big homes are. That's where they'll leave me alone, so they think. And yet, though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, folks, in this effort to war against the beast, you are to fear no evil. Again, go read Psalm 91, Psalm 145, Psalm 149, the 23rd Psalm. Read through the Proverbs again. We're in a war. I wish our team would wake up to that fact. But yes, we are in a war. John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. Yeah, if you want peace in this world, this sick, demented world, only through Yahweh will you find it. In the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Yeah, you're going to have tribulation because the world hates us. That's why you don't see anybody teaching this truth that's sitting on top of millions of dollars. The world hates us. Again, that's why truth tellers are not going to sit in million-dollar studios. The world hates us. I'm glad to see the English Standard Version gets it right. Exodus 20, verse 13, you shall not murder. No, it did not say you shall not kill. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. You shall not murder. Oh, okay, that makes sense. Murder is the taking of an innocent life. Innocent by man's law? Oh, no, that's not what it's talking about. Innocent by God's law. If you take somebody's life who is innocent by God's law, then you are a murderer, and you yourself deserve death. Many people out there have done that, by the way. And you wonder why we need the grace of our Father when he came to this earth as Yahshua HaMashiach, the Anointed, to wash away our transgressions? How many of you out there have committed a crime that the law says you should die for? I'll bet you the show of hands would be quite a few, if you're honest now. Quite a few. And now you know what he was talking about. And did he come to wash away those sins from everything, every creature on this earth? Well, that's not what the book says. It's not what the book says, because they weren't under that law, were they? His people were under that law. his people were condemned by that law. He came to redeem his people. They were condemned to death. They were divorced by Yahweh. The marriage supper of the Lamb is to his kinsmen. That's the invitation. It goes out to those who were divorced. Let that sink in, folks. Numbers 1, verse 3, from 20 years old and upward, all in Israel who are able to go to war, you and Aaron shall list them company by company. What do we infer from Numbers chapter 1, verse 3 there? The age for going to war is 20 years old. What else is 20 years old in our law, Yahweh's law? The age of accountability. You see, when you're less than 20 years old, your mother and your father are responsible for you. You didn't know that, did you? Yeah. It's incumbent on parents to pay more attention to their duties because the children that they have, until they reach the age of 20, they are responsible for them. That's why it's our duty to decide how to raise our children, not some bureaucrat, especially a godless, heathen bureaucrat. Now, once you're at the age of accountability, you are now responsible for yourself. But for us men, at the age of 20, we are also fit to serve in our military. Why have we not won any wars of late? Actually, I'm not quite sure we've won wars at all, period. The illusion is there that we won, but did we really? The bankers are the ones who won. But in warfare, you're not going to win when you send children 18 years of old into your military units. We draft people and allow people to enlist below the age of 20. That's a violation of God's law. 100%. It's also God's law that a man who is without children to inherit is to be exempted till he can establish his home and produce an heir, a child to inherit for his family and his family's name. It's that important. Do we today treat that as an important feature? No, we don't. We walk all over it. Really, if you take a look at the world we live in, we don't live according to God's law in pretty much any area of our so-called Western civilizations anymore. So 20 years old is the age of accountability. That's when you're on your own, folks. From that point on, you can't blame mom and dad for your transgressions, for your lack of faith, for your ungodly behavior. Oh, no, no. You stand alone. But at the same time, up until your age of 20 years old, you shouldn't fear being pressed into military service. That's a violation of his law. You're not mature enough to go onto a battlefield below the age of 20. As a rule. Are there exceptions to rules? Yeah, sometimes. In God's way, he can anoint a person outside of his own rules. That's his prerogative to do that. But it's not yours. It's not mine. I wonder when we're going to wake up one day and realize that his law is the only law that we are commanded to obey. I wonder when we're going to realize that. So these scriptures we were talking about, another thing is that, you know, the church world tells that if you want to be a good believer, you shouldn't own weapons and you shouldn't be violent. And yet, the scripture says just the opposite. We're commanded to know the ways of war and the weapons of war. We're commanded to eliminate criminals. We're commanded to do that. We're commanded to fight those who would do harm to those that we love. We're commanded to do that. It's not a suggestion. We're commanded to do it. And yet the church world preaches just the opposite. Why would anybody darken the doorstep of any modern-day church? I don't understand that. The whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Why would you do that? Why would you listen to a professional liar called a preacher or a priest or a pastor? Why? Why would you do that? They come out of seminaries. I call them cemeteries. Taught by, many times, rabbis in these seminaries. The enemy is actually invited in to educate, indoctrinate the guys that come out with seminary degrees. Why would you want a preacher with a seminary degree? That's another thing I just... Why? Where did you fall into that trap? My preacher needs to have a seminary degree? For what? Where in Scripture does it ever say a calling from the Father is only given to those with a piece of paper given to them by some establishment called a seminary? Where does it say that? If it says anything at all, it would be to run away from such. But we do everything ass backwards today, don't we? Pretty much we do. Pretty much. I'm going to go ahead and open it up if anybody has some comments or questions. So if you hear your mic being unmuted, it's just so you can jump in. And if you don't want to say anything, don't feel compelled to. You don't have to. I'm just giving an opportunity to do that. Does anybody have anything they want to add before we close for today? And again, if you don't, just go ahead and self-mute at your end. That would be fine with me. Comments, questions, anybody? No? Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. Again, that's a spiritual or a... I'm trying to think how to say... It's not a thing that you should feel compelled to do. Just because somebody like me says that, okay? Because I know there was pressure put on me at times when I was at churches or gatherings. When somebody would do that, everybody would look around and go, "Well, how come aren't you?" You're not compelled. It's just giving an opportunity. All right? So don't let people intimidate you ever in any kind of situation where you're part of a group and somebody says that, and don't ever let them pressure you into doing that. That has to be a move of the Spirit within. And if the Spirit isn't telling you to say anything, then don't. Don't. I was taught a long time ago by my parents and by others that there's a reason that our Father created us with two ears and one mouth. That's the ratio. You should listen twice as much as you do your speaking. You should listen more and talk less. And the scripture even backs it up. Okay? The wise man listens and says much in few words. Just the opposite of what the world looks at these preachers and teachers that pontificate for hours sometimes. The scripture tells you what? A wise man says a lot with just a few words. Let that sink in. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the good things that are here upon this earth and good things that are happening for your children. There's bad things happening in the world, but typically it's happening to those who have called it upon themselves. You're opening doors recently, and we praise you for that. There are people going back to homesteads. There are people that are arming themselves up. There are groups of people learning to become self-sufficient again, learning how to make clothes, learning how to tan hides, learning how to grow gardens and raise animals, as you commanded us to do it in Scripture, honestly, humanely, organically. There are many leaving the medical mafia and going back to naturopathy. There are many leaving, as I have done, leaving the medical mafia for my health care at every point and going strictly organic and naturopathic. And as these people come out of this world system, we say, bless their hearts, Father. Keep them strong. Take away any doubts and fears that they might have. Bless their activities. And may you see fit to open doors for those of us that want to find land and get back to nature and to you, to establish ourselves as small kingdoms upon this earth where you are our king, our lawgiver, our judge, not them. Having faith to know that you would bless such an activity. As long as our hearts are pure, as long as our motives are in line with your thoughts and your holy word. We know the world looks pretty gloom right now, but that time is going to come to an end here shortly. And we look forward to the sun rising on a new land, a new heaven and a new earth, when you have taken and burned away the chaff, the tares. Until that day comes, help us, Father. Walk with us and guide us. Forgive us our transgressions. We still make many, unfortunately. And we know that you're always there to hold our hand and help us along, as a good father should, if we will just try. Open our eyes to that wisdom, Father, that it's in the trying that we learn. It's in the trying that we accomplish your will upon this earth. Bless those that will hear the message, Father. Let the word reach the ears of those that are deemed necessary to hear it. And again, we just ask that your coming would be soon and that this wicked world will be cleansed of the evil that pervades it at this time. In Yahweh's precious name, we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.